We're going to hear now from a religious leader revered by Tibetan Buddhists and admired by countless others, the 14th Dalai Lama. A year ago, he stepped down as the political leader of Tibet's government in exile to devote himself to spreading a spiritual message of compassion and peace. Still, he's been drawn into talking about violence since a wave of deadly protests swept through the Tibetan areas of China. Morning Edition's Renee Montaigne sat down with the Dalai Lama to talk about these events in Honolulu, Hawaii. He's been speaking with young people there as part of a visit called Pillars of Peace.
When the Dalai Lama appeared on stage at a student rally at Kailua High School, he was greeted with cheers and a Royal Hawaiian welcome. A long line of boys in blue capes chanted. Girls in grass skirts and garlands of bright green leaves danced a graceful hula. On stage, the Dalai Lama told these kids they could be the ones to change the world.
My time, almost now, ending. You, just the beginning. So future on your shoulder.
Kailua High was a natural destination for the Dalai Lama. Over the past decade, it has woven into its curriculum the teachings of the Tibetan leader. It's part of a school-wide initiative aimed at tackling violence, ethnic tension, and bullying. Outside, as the trade winds blew across the campus, we talked to the teacher who developed the program. Amber Strong Makayao said the school was able to fund the initiative thanks to federal dollars made available after the massacre at Columbine High School.
What the Dalai Lama brings us back to is, what is the root cause of this violence? And he's talking about fear and frustration and anger. And so I think what we're trying to do is teach the students how to work through those issues so we don't even get to this place of violence. And that's what living and talking, using dialogue and thinking critically in a community of inquiry where you're connecting to one another, I think that's what it's teaching, is compassion.
Christian Kele'ikoma is a senior who transferred to Kailua High as a sophomore. He found a dramatic difference from his old school.
Because there's a lot of bullying and stuff over there. But when I came over here, I was very shocked. People were really nice. The teachers try to put that kind of perspective into the students over here. Our classes, they have certain sayings on our classes, is to spread the aloha. What you give is what you're going to get back.
When I sat down with the Dalai Lama, he pointed out that bullying is global. Countries can be bullies, which is how many Tibetans view China. In recent years, China has cracked down hard on its Tibetan areas, putting Chinese bureaucrats in charge of monasteries, detaining monks and even religious pilgrims, part of what the Dalai Lama has characterized as a cultural genocide. At least 30, mostly young Tibetans, have set themselves on fire in protest over the past year, many calling for the return of the Dalai Lama. Why is this happening right at this moment?
In order to know, you have to study last thousand years history.
It's a complicated story.
Tibet.
Yes.
Now, semi-cultural revolution is returning.
Mao's cultural revolution
from
the 60s.
That's right. Everybody
coming
knows.
To Tibet now.
Yes. Yeah. You see, things become worse and worse and worse. So therefore, the sad events is just symptoms of last several decades, their mistake. The local authorities, Chinese authority, out of their fear, they carry very unrealistic, suppressive sort of policy. I always tell my Chinese friend, policy must be realistic. In order to carry realistic policy, you have to find the reality. They say that, but practically just opposite. They ignore the reality and they impose their own wish. That's the problem.
You know, China is expected to name a new leader in the coming year. And the current vice president, Xi Jinping, that's who it would be. His father was not only an influential party member, although at times he was purged, but he was quite moderate towards Tibet. And I understand that he was once seen wearing a gold watch that you had given him, and that also he carried a picture of the Dalai Lama. So did you knew him?
I know.
But this would be, you know, we have heard so much about Vice President Xi Jinping coming to America, and his father was an admirer of yours. One might think that he would be maybe more helpful when he comes to power for Tibet. Mm. But in fact, he's been quite harsh. Maybe it is the son going against the father.
Just speculation. The one fact, the present Prime Minister, Wen Jiabao, last few years, he expressed China need political reform. He even mentioned China need Western style of democracy. So seems to Wen Jiabao very sincere about reforming political system of thinking. So next leadership may build a new policy, but too early to say. Everything secrecy. So very difficult to predict.
Given this unrest at the moment, people know very well that you have said that you cannot go back to Tibet because there are certain things that China needs to agree to. You've agreed to many things. But have you considered just going back? What would happen?
I always make clear, firstly, I'm human being. On that level, I fully committed to promote deeper human value in order to achieve happier humanity. There are two sort of different kinds of Tibetan sort of expression. Older people, they simply express they wish I return as soon as possible before they die. More younger people, more serious people, they always send me message. Under present circumstances, they feel Dalai Lama should remain outside. So Dalai Lama can represent the wishes of Tibetan people in free country. So, of course, Chinese people, we very much respect their culture. But the present system is something now actually outdated system. Things are changing. Things are changing. So long run, I'm full of optimism. Things are changing.
The spiritual leader of Tibet, the 14th Dalai Lama, speaking with us here in Honolulu.
And of course, that's her own Renee Montagne. It's NPR News.